The drive home belongs to the great one. Mark Levin, today at 3 on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Is it Sunday yet?
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!
Michael, how does Marshawn feel about Skittles?
He loves his power pellets before the game.
Boss,
go Hawks!
I'm just about that action, boss.
Go Hawks!
All right, it's John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Hey, John, can I tell you something?
Yes, Marina Rockinger.
My husband is such a fan. Now, I'm a big fan of the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is such a fan. At 5:45 today, he's getting a Seahawks tattoo.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How big?
To add to his body? Well, he's got a sleeve going on his arm, so it's going to be in one of the...
Forearm area?
Yeah, forearm. I think it's going to be in the forearm. He's got some blank space there that he saved just for the Seahawks tattoo.
It's going to be the Seahawk logo?
Yes.
No kidding.
I am not kidding you. And he's a lifelong fan. It's not like he was a bandwagoner and decided to suddenly get
Is he going to be
tattoo.
Brave and put something about, you know, the other guy
Super Bowl champions?
Is there Edmonds guy that put champions?
Yes, he did. Back in August.
XLVII champion.
In fact, just a quick aside, that tattoo place is in Edmonds where that guy got the Super Bowl tattoo. That all came about because a friend of ours got his original Seahawks tattoo there, told my husband about it, that's where he's going, and that's where that guy went as well. So, yeah,
so no,
I'll let you know.
Just
I'll
tell
you,
the
guy,
the logo.
Well, the guy I'm about to talk to here doesn't have a Seahawks tattoo. However, he has left his mark all over the community here. Jim Zorn, Seahawks legend, Ring of Honor member. Joining us here, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Thanks for being with us so early in the morning, Jim.
Not a problem. How would you guys have a party this early in the morning? That's what I want to know. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, by the way, talking about tattoos, I've got two quick stories. One, I had some trees trimmed in my yard the other day, and two of the guys had Seahawk emblem tattoos on their arms, and they were diehard fans.
Nice.
And then my son-in-law, who is a Cougar graduate, has a WSU tattoo on his calf, so he's all in too for the Cougs. So it's been fun to see some true fans that are willing to really get it stamped on their buds.
Well, you know, it's one of the, you notice the Seahawk tattoos are like on, you know, forearms, you know, where people can see them, but the Washington State University tattoo is kind of a little below. So.
It's called Cougar Calves. Haven't you heard of the Cougar Calves? It makes sense.
All right. Hey, you think it's a Husky? I'm going to let that opportunity pass me by, Brittany. Guess where Brittany went to school?
No.
Good morning, Jim Zorn.
Good morning. Morning to you all.
All right, so let us preview the Super Bowl Sunday game and what we are getting ready for. Has anything transpired this week that you think will affect the outcome in any way?
Well, I don't think so. Well, one thing that could is just that everybody's going to be healthy, and when you can. Put all your players out there and give them a go at the end of the season, a Super Bowl, and you just feel really good. The hard part now is if everybody is healthy, the hard part for both teams, but especially the Seahawks, is trying to decide who is going to be deactivated. And I haven't heard that, and that'll be a last, you know, those are always last-minute decisions. Who's going to be active and deactive, and you have to put a few guys down, and if everybody's healthy, that'll be a tough decision, and it'll affect mostly the special teams coach.
What rivalries on the field are you most looking forward to watching on Sunday? Matchups, I should say.
The matchups are going to be much like they have been in the past. Our defenders, our DB group against their wide receivers, because we do play some single coverage, and being able to play it tight enough where you can knock a ball down, pick a ball from Peyton is going to be premium. And that matchup, the separation, will Denver be able to separate from the Seahawk DBs? That'll be a really key matchup. And then the thing that I'm looking for is pressure, because, you know, trying to get Peyton off his mark, trying to get Peyton to throw even sooner or moving quicker will help as well. So the pass rush is going to be a key matchup between our rush and their offensive line. So
why is he so good? Peyton Manning.
What?
Because why is he so good? Because, you know, he's not what you would call a scrambler, right? But he always seems to find the mark. What is it that makes him not just a good quarterback but a standout?
Well, he's been at it for a long time, so he knows, and does a great job pre-snap to try to get defenses to show what they're doing. And when they do show, he goes to that. You know, he goes to that either the one-on-one, or he understands that he's got a pretty good zone route if it's a zone coverage against that particular defense, and he's very, very patient. You know. It's so funny because you think how fast the game is played, and I would describe Peyton as patient when it comes to playing the game. You know, so what he'll do is he'll take the five yard gain, and he just waits for that opportunity to take something further down the field. And you know, if he has to go all the way down the field with those kinds of decisions and throws, he'll do it. And that's what makes him pretty good.
You know, one of the things I noticed about Peyton Manning, there isn't the 12th man in ferocity in Denver that there is here. I mean, not that their fans aren't great and loyal to Denver. They are. But one of the things I noticed in the playoffs is Peyton Manning has this great ability to draw the other team offside almost as if there is a 12th man.
Yeah, because he works at it. I think one of the things that Peyton does so well, he realizes that his voice and those the pre-snap process basically can help. It's a weapon. And he uses it as a weapon. So he's always using terms, voice inflection, sort of little movements that he has when the ball has been snapped. And he uses those same voice inflections, words, and then doesn't snap the ball. And that, you know, everybody's trying to look for that advantage of getting off on the snap. So he's going to use similar tones, get a guy to jump or move or flinch.
My guest is Jim. My guest is Seahawks legend Jim Zorn. Speaking of voice inflections and terms, what does Omaha mean? What's that about, Jim?
Well, Omaha just means that it's a precursor, and the word is really just saying, "Hey, Omaha, Omaha." It's almost, remember when he said, "Hurry, hurry!"
Right.
Early in the season, hurry, hurry. Set height or set hut. It just means I want you to snap the ball quick. Omaha, Omaha. That means I want you to snap the ball quickly. So it's Omaha. It's giving the old line an indication. Hey, I'm changing the count here. So the count could have been on. I'm going to give you a color number. Mm-hmm. And what he did was he might have changed the protection or the play. And when he did that, Omaha just means, hey, I've just changed the count to a quick count. Omaha, Omaha. Said, hut. And
okay,
the ball would get snapped.
There you go. Because I noticed whenever he said Omaha, an instant later, the ball was snapped. And I said,
now,
yeah?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, so think about this. Here's what Peyton does. This is what makes him so evil, is he knows that all those have been quick counts, so he may go, this is going to be a dummy Omaha, okay? So he'll walk up to the line of scrimmage and he'll go, Omaha, Omaha, sit hot, and he won't snap the ball. And then he'll start the cadence.
There we go.
So, so you can know the words, you can know what it means, and then at some point during the game, he's going to say it, do it, just like it's supposed to sound, and the ball won't get snapped. You'll jump off sides, the center will snap the ball, and you'll get free yards.
Now, what ratio of running to passing do you think the Seahawks should run on offense?
I am not their coach, so I'm not going to predict that. I don't know what they should do because I don't have the pleasure of calling the game, but they got to rely on Marshawn because that's been part of their a good part of their success, and that has taken some of the that's giving Russell some creativity in that play action game and in the drop back pass game. So I hope they're very successful running the ball, but I wouldn't predict a ratio.
Okay. By the way, speaking of coaching, Fox News is reporting, Fox Sports, that Pete Carroll has a routine, a weekly routine that he kept going all season, where he give each day a new name. Monday, the day after the game, was called Tell the Truth Monday. Discuss what happened in the game. Watch highlight tape. Be honest about performances. Tuesday, game off, or day off. Wednesday is called Compete Wednesday. The coaches and players talk about different ways the team's going to compete and how they match up with their opponents. Thursday is called Turnover Thursday, a straightforward look at the importance of ball control and how to force turnovers on the opposition. The next day is No Repeat Friday, kind of a light practice, puts a priority on not making mistakes. The next day is Walk Through Saturday, and then, of course, Sunday is Game Day. Is that pretty much the routine in the NFL, Jim?
Yes, I would say you fill that in with the meat of the day, and that is, like, for example, on Friday, on a No Repeat Friday. Well, it's No Repeat Friday, but the meat of the practice is red zone, goal line, short yardage, and then the no repeat idea. I think is just working through all those things that you did during the week, first and second. You get a glimpse of your mixed downs, you get a glimpse of your third downs, you start putting all those things together that you practiced earlier in the week, but you're also emphasizing red zone, goal line, those kinds of scoring plays as well.
Now, our senior chief executive producer, Philip J. Vandervoort III, was reminding me early in the week, hey, if we get Jim Zorn back, you got to ask him about when the Hawks and the Broncos really did have a fierce rivalry going on, because he was there for that.
Yeah, no, it was a wild. Every time we played them, twice a year, they were always wild games. I remember playing one game in the Kingdome. And Steve Largent, here I get to be on the field with Steve Largent, and he beat Louis Wright on a double move with a minute, I think it was a minute and some left in the game. We were behind. I scrambled to my right. I pumped. Louis bit on Steve's move, and I probably threw one of the best passes I've thrown in the Kingdome in that game to beat the Broncos. But I remember the flip side too, being in Denver one year, and we were ahead 35-14 at halftime, and a guy named Craig Morton, the old
Dallas Cowboy quarterback.
Yeah, he came in as a backup after halftime. Dan Reeves made that switch, and they beat us 37-35 at the end of the game. It was just it was a harsh loss. So I've seen both sides of it. I also remember Steve Largent getting whacked by Harden, the DB, and then late. That happened early in the season.
I remember that.
Late in,
yep.
late in the season, Steve came back and got him on an after he had intercepted a ball and kind of got him back. So all those storied games and plays were, kind of embedded in my memory on some of the games against the Broncos.
Boy, is that what you just mentioned, is that ever making the rounds? Harden had intercepted a pass, not from you, from Dave Krieg, in the end zone, and was running it back. And Jim Zorn ran up from behind, Steve Largent ran up from behind and leveled him with a hit that literally took him airborne. It sent him airborne, and he fumbled the ball, and Steve jumped on it.
I can't remember Steve jumping on it, but I know that
he did.
He gave him quite a lick. And everybody just absolutely roared. And it was such a long time between games because we had played them early in the season. Steve, nobody said anything. There was nothing said in the press that week about, are you going to get him back? That was just kind of a passe. Mm-hmm. thing, and then when he hit him, everything came into focus. And Steve had said, "I've been waiting for that opportunity all season long."
My kid's a senior in high school, and he had this on his Facebook page. I said, "Man, this is going around." That happened back in what, 88?
I know.
Jim, we got 30 seconds left. Do you care to make a prediction?
Well, I'm all for the Hawks.
The score.
The score. I think it's going to be a close game. I'd say 26-21, somewhere in there. Both teams, I think, are going to score in the 20s, and I think the Seahawks are going to come out ahead.
All right. I think you're right. Hey, listen, it's great again for you to join us so early in the morning. Thanks very much for making the time, Jim.
John, I wish I was with you to party all day like you're doing so early in the morning.
Well, we do every day. That's all Jim Zorn.
Right.
Thanks.
Later.
See you later. That's a great friend of mine in this program, Jim Zorn, joining us here, Talk Radio 570 KVI.